Father, I want to thank you for leadership that we have in our church that stand firm and faithful to you and your call, but love people and serve them also. Bless our brother, Pastor Ratsara, in a special way and anoint him from on high. And thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Once again, I would like to greet you in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a joy to be here this morning and to be part of this lovely church, paradise. I said to myself, we should not get out of this church. We are where we should be. We need to continue to be in paradise. And when Jesus comes, we will just proceed. I want to thank you for the lovely welcome and hospitality that you have expressed. My wife and I and my family, we really feel welcome. It is good to be part of the family of God. Wherever you go, you feel that you are part of the family. You don't feel like stranger. You don't feel like outsider. But you are part of the group right away. The smiles and the way you treat each other, it is nice. I would like to thank the Lord for you. And I'm so happy to be able to be here and to spend this time with you. You know, God has a way of doing things. He has a kind of excuse sometimes for a bigger agenda. We have come here, my family and I, for the wedding of our daughter, Mary, as it was already introduced. But I realize that that is just a little portion of God's agenda. God has a bigger thing for us. And for you and me to be here today, it is more than an opportunity to be together because of the wedding that will take place tomorrow. God wants us to be together. God wants us to have this journey, this spiritual journey, that you and I, we can support one another to pray for the strength so that we can be faithful until the end, that we can pray and we can encourage one another. While we journey to the heavenly Canaan, that is the promised land that the Lord has already promised. I want to thank you, Pastor Neri, for giving me the opportunity to be with the people and to share the Lord's work. A word rather. Yesterday we had an opportunity to climb the mountain and pray for you and for the valley and for the city. We believe that the Lord has already answered the prayers, that the Holy Spirit is taking over right now. The Holy Spirit is going to do mighty things in our lives and in the life of this church. Greater things are to come, and that's why more to come. In our life, it is always more to come. God has a way of continuing what He has started. He's not the kind to start something and then abandon it. That is not God. When God starts something, He likes to finish it. God has started a good work in our lives. His desire is that you will continue and you will finish what he has started. And the finishing line is when he comes, and then we'll spend eternity with him. Once again, I want to bring the greetings from your brothers and sisters in the Southern Africa Indian Ocean Division, one of the 13 divisions of this church. We are about almost 3 million baptized members right now, worshiping in more than 20,000 churches and companies. We are happy to be part of God's family, of God's church. and God's remnant church. We are. So I am bringing the greetings from them and bringing some of the greeting from the head office of our church in Pretoria, Johannesburg, South Africa. Would like to invite you to come and to share the good news and the joy of spreading the gospel. You will be welcome. So just let us know if you plan to come to South Africa. Well, it is noon now. It is 12 o'clock. But I believe that we would like to listen to the word of God, Pastor Peter, and we will preach the word. Yes, preach the word of God. As it was already announced, my topic today is more to come. Let us just bow our heads as we pray. Father God, we want to thank you so much this morning for your love, for your kindness, for your grace, that here we are. You have given us the gift of life and salvation. And now, as we are going to listen to your word, we are going to open the word. We'd like you to help us to open our minds and our hearts, that this moment will be a moment of encounter with you, of life transforming experience for all of us. Speak now, and we are listening. In the name of Jesus. Amen. As it was already announced, I come from the city or the country of Madagascar, and my wife from Mauritius. We started our ministry in that country, and after a few years, we were called to be missionary in the mainland of Africa, because we came from the islands. We have different islands according to the map that was shown to you, and we were called to Congo. It was Zaire then. That was the name. But it was changed into DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo. That was in 94. That was a time of war. That was a time of trouble. And even people, they were wondering, why have we accepted that call of God? And remember Mary, my daughter, she was then about 8 years old. And people said, oh, you are going to Congo. There is war there. You can be killed. Many times people tried. And some of them, they did not want us to leave. They want us to continue to serve. And Mary answered once. She said, look, in the Bible, it is said that go everywhere. It is not written except Congo. And we were encouraged by that. So we went to Congo as a family. I was there asked to be the union president. That was a difficult time. Even myself, during that time, I was kidnapped. By few people, but of course I didn't die. That's why I'm here. The Lord released in a mighty way. Our time is not enough for me to go into the detail, but God intervened, and I was released. I was released, and here I am. But the worship. The family worship during that time, and even, in fact, all family worship must be special. But during that time, it has another dimension, Because during the time of war in Congo, a family worship can't be a goodbye. Because during the night, soldiers may come and just kill everybody and take everything. So, before going to bed, we prayed and put everything in God's hands. And I remember one topic that we discussed. The children were still small then. Mary, 8 or 9, and Paul, and Moise. They are now, as it was already announced, they will be pastors this year. We have many pastors at home. But they were small then. And the worship was, the theme of the worship was heaven. So I was contrasting life on earth and life in heaven. I said, children, when we go to heaven, there will be no sickness. There will be no death. But right here, we have war. We have problems. We have all kind of things. But in heaven, we will not see all of that. And the children were so attentive. And then Paul, he's right here, Paul raised his hand. He said, Papa, can I say something? I said, yes, of course. And he was kind of silent for a few seconds, just to maybe gather his strength to say something important. And he said, Papa, if heaven is so good, why are we still here? Let's go to heaven now. He said, let's go to heaven now. And he insisted that we should go to heaven now. We should not wait. Because the way it was described, it was so appealing. So he could not understand in his mind why we are still here. I didn't know what to say. It was so deep. But after getting my composure, because I realized that it was so true, that indeed we need to hurry up. We need to go home. It was so true when I think of what is going on around us. And especially now after what has happened to me, about three years ago, I visited the country of Zambia. Thank you, Pastor Neri, for bringing that picture of Zambia, one of the unions. I visited that place. And then the union president told me, he said, Pastor, we have a tragedy in our union. We would like you to conduct the funeral service. I said, yes, since I'm here, I can help. So we went to this funeral service. As you can imagine, I have conducted many funeral services. But in my entire ministry, I have never conducted such funeral service. It was so huge. So many people, not thousands, but tens of thousands of people attending that funeral service. What has happened? Young people, they were to go to a youth camp. And they have taken buses. And one of the buses was involved in an accident. 7 of them died. Young adults. And they have decided to have a combined funeral service for the young people. 7 coffins in front of me. The age of my children. And when we enter, it was not indoors. It was in open airs. It was so huge. When we reached that place, we saw people, tens of thousands of people, young people, strong young men and young women and old people, crying, weeping, wailing all over the place. Can you imagine? The parents of these children, the churches, which is in Zambia, is a big, big church, large, almost 800,000, the union membership. And in the country of, in the city of Lusaka, the capital city, so many members. So they went to that place. People crying. Young people, teenagers, young adults. Boys and girls. I didn't know what to do. I joined them also weeping. Everybody. Then I was asked to preach. What do you say? What do you say? I did not wish to preach, but someone had to preach and accepted to preach. For about a minute, I didn't know what to say. I just cried with everybody. But deep down in my heart, I had this prayer. He said, Lord, enough is enough. Time to go home. You must come now to end this suffering and to give us that joy that you have already prepared for us. It was so true. So the wish of Paul was so true. And I looked at him. He said, you know, son, you are right. We must go home. But I told him that Jesus is coming indeed. In Revelation chapter 21 and 22, it talks about God is going to wipe the tears. In chapter 22, at least three times, Jesus said, and open your Bibles with me. In Revelation chapter 22, you know it, but it is good to read those verses again. It is assured, Jesus himself said in chapter 22 of the book of Revelation, I read verse 7. Behold, Jesus says, I am coming quickly. And then, another one, I can read right away. Verse 12. And behold, I am coming quickly. And then the last verse, in the verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, surely, I am coming quickly. Jesus is coming soon. Soon and very soon, Jesus will come. But I told Paul and my family, but I said before the book of Revelation, we have the book of Matthew. And the book of Matthew, chapter 24, the book of Matthew, chapter 24, tells us the sequence that we need to respect for that to happen, for Jesus to come soon. In Matthew, chapter 24 and verse 14, you know by heart that this must come first. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Yes, we want Jesus to come soon. But the truth of the matter is, before he comes, there is a job to be done. And that is the preaching of the gospel. For us to hasten the coming of Jesus, because he has given us that opportunity not only to wait for his coming, but even to hasten his coming. And for us to contribute to that is to be involved in the preaching of the gospel. And I'm so happy to hear from Pastor Peter that this church is a witnessing church. This church is a church of mission. Keep it up. Because that is the way for us to hasten, not only to wait for his coming, but to hasten the coming of the Lord. But the question is, what do we need to do for the gospel to be strong again? Because let's face it, when we read the Bible, what God has done in the book of Acts, we must admit that there is no comparison. There is only contrast. The result of their preaching was so powerful. And for us, yes, we rejoice of what is going on. But I'm telling you, that is not the ideal. God has a plan for the gospel to go faster. For more than 20 years now, I have been praying and studying the Word of God and the Spirit of prophecy to discover what is the key for a finished work. I see, I feel, and I know that something is missing. This is not it. The way, the result we see now, this is not what God wants. Time is not enough for me to go into the details, but it is so clear in the Bible that God wants us to do something greater. God wants us to see things greater than what we are seeing right now. So for the next time, next few minutes or so, or the time that I'm going to speak, permit me just to share with you the gist of what I have discovered for the last 20 years of studying and praying, just to know why is it that what we read in the Bible, we don't see them now. We want to see. When you read the book of Acts, and we want to see what is going on in the book of Acts in our church. And that is my prayer for our division, that we want to experience this. We don't want just a commonplace success. We want what God wants. The Lord, I want to show you few slides. It has happened. But before that, I want you to open your Bibles in Zechariah chapter 8. That is the key text. The key is in Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 23. The key to a finished work is in Zechariah chapter 8. Of course, in the book of Zechariah, we know the text when it is said, not by might, but the power of God. But this chapter 8 contains the key. Let's read it. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from every language of the nations shall grasp the sleeve of the Jewish man, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. I would like us just to imagine this, that let's say it is happening right here. It is said, 10 men and women, a Jewish, represent us, the Adventist, one Jewish man, in Seventh-day Adventist, the spiritual Israel, a Seventh-day Adventist member, just one, 10 non-Adventist, 10, and 10, the number 10 in the Bible is the minimum, that's why the tithe is the minimum that God requires, and the 10 commandments is the summary of Torah, of the Word of God. So 10 is the minimum in the Bible. Can you imagine a situation whereby every one of us here, when we go out, people, those who do not belong to our faith, they plead. 10 of them, they come. Listen, we really want to be part of your church. Can we join your church? One, maybe one man approaches you. Listen, I want to be part of your church. Another one, I would like to be part of your church. And then a woman, I would like to be part of your church. 10 of them, according to the description here. It said, thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, that is our days, 10 men from every language of the nations shall grasp the sleeve of the Jewish man, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. I don't know how many of us here, can you imagine a situation that every one of us, one member, will attract 10 non-members. And it's them who plead. He said, please, we would like to be part of your church. Can you accept us? Can you imagine that situation? It has happened. It has happened in the book of Acts. This is the summary. By the cooperation of the divine spirit, the apostle did the work that shook the world. To every nation was the gospel carried in a single generation. In a single generation, the word of God was preached in the then known world. And it is established that after just one generation, from 120 baptized members, they reached a million membership. Can you imagine? It has happened. And from that Pentecostal meeting, the book of Acts, chapter 2, there were 120. Peter preached for 10 minutes and then baptized 3,000. That day, the membership went from 120 to 3,120. The church clerk was busy writing 3,000. And if you continue to read, that was not just a one-time thing. It continued. It has happened indeed. What is described in the book of Zechariah, it has happened. And it filled the entire world. I'm going quickly. But now, it has happened then. The question is this only reserved for the 2,000 years ago church, the early church? No, the answer is no.
And this is a good news. Sometimes
people may think, you know, God probably is tired. He used to do great things in the past. And God will say, you know, children, I used to do those things in the past, but I'm old now. Please understand. You know what you read in the Bible? Yes, I did. We crossed. I really helped the children of Israel to cross the Red Sea. No boat, no bridge. I did that. But please understand, I can't do that now. I'm old. No, God is the same. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, what has happened in the book of Acts, what has happened in the book of Zechariah, the prophecy in the book of Zechariah, it will happen again according to what is written in the book of Great Controversy, page 612. The great work of the gospel is not to close with less manifestation of the power of God than marked its opening. The prophecies which were fulfilled in the outpouring of the former rain at the opening of the gospel are again, I want to underline, are again to be fulfilled in the latter rain as at its close. It will happen again. When we believe Jesus is coming soon, and we are saying, before He comes, we need to preach the gospel. Meaning, it is now. It is not in the future. The plan of God is that what is described in the book of Acts, what is prophesied in the book of Zechariah, and what is prophesied in the book Great Controversy, it has to happen now. That is good news. It will happen again. And it can happen right here in this church. And it can happen in your life, in your family. I believe in the Word of God. This is the Word of God. When it is written in this book, it is true. I believe in the spirit of prophecy. This is the gift of God to the remnant church. When it is written here, it will happen. Now, our time is running fast. Let me go quickly. What do we need to do then for this to happen? Because it is not happening. Do you agree with me? It is not happening in our division, even though our division is fast growing. Soon, we are going to baptize the 3 millionth member of our division in November. But it is not happening. What we describe, it is described in the Bible and in the book of the spirit of prophecy. It is not happening. I want this thing to happen in our division. And I believe you want this to happen in your church. So, what do we need to do for it to happen in our church? Why? We need to know why it's not happening. What is the problem? And we need to find the solution to that problem for us to enjoy. To enjoy what God has already planned for every one of us. Okay. Oh, where are you now? Okay. Here. What is the problem? In the book of Matthew first, and then we'll read the spirit of prophecy. You know, Matthew chapter 7, there is a group of people. They were so confident, and they talked to the master. He said, listen, we are your disciples. We are doing many things for you. We demand that we go to heaven. in chapter 7, verse 21-23. But the answer is, verse 23, "And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." And these people, they say, "Lord, Lord," in verse 21, "not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." What is the problem here? The spirit of prophecy tells us in the book Christian Service. Let's read. "There must be no pretense in the lives of those who have so sacred and solemn a message as we have been called to bear. The world is watching Seventh-day Adventists because it knows something of their profession of faith and of their high standard. And when it sees those who do not live up to their profession, it points at them with scorn. Our problem is pretense. So many, too much pretense. We pretend to be disciples of Christ. Not genuine. You see, when you see flowers, I like, especially my wife loves flowers. When you look from afar, there is no difference between genuine flower and plastic flower. When you look from afar, the same. Of course, the bees cannot be deceived. They know right away. But for us, we can be deceived. From afar, they look the same. But when you approach, and especially you touch, you know which is which. The fake ones and the genuine ones. According to what is written here, and in another statement, in the same book, it said half-half Christian, too much pretense. Plastic Christians. And when you approach the plastic Christians, you know that it is fake. And it can be repelling. Instead of drawing, when people know us closely, then they know that this is just pretense. What they teach, they don't live by. Their doctrine is good, but the way they practice it, it's different. It's pretense. And with that pretense, we may preach, but the result will not be seen. How is our relationship with God? Is God your personal Savior? Or is He only the God of the church? Or the God of your family? Yes. Yes, He is the God of the church. This is the remnant church. God has called this church. But it's not enough. He must be your personal God. Do you know Him personally? Can He call you His friend like He called Abraham? That is the best title that we can aspire to be, friend of God. You know, I traveled a lot. But 70 or 80% of my time, I'm far from home. So, we communicate a lot with my wife through phone. When I phone, I don't say, "Oh, here is Paul Ratzara. Do you know me?" When I call my wife, no. Right away, we go into the conversation. Because just one word will be enough for my wife to know that I am the husband. And the same thing, your voice, is it known in heaven? Do you know personally the voice of God? What we need now for this miracle to happen in our lives, in our families, in our church, we need the genuine Christianity. We need not this pretended. We need the real one. How is your devotional life? How is your prayer life? The mere fact that you are here today and you hear this message, God loves you a lot. God loves me. The fact I'm also preaching to myself, the fact that I am here today sharing this, God wants me to be reformed. This is the time for revival and reformation. Real Christianity, that is what is needed right now. And then, like Paul, we need to be like Paul in the Bible and in the book Spirit of Prophecy. It is said, Paul carried with him the atmosphere of heaven. All who associated with him felt the influence of his union with Christ. The fact that his own life exemplified the truth he proclaimed gave convincing power to his preaching. Here lies the power of the truth. You see the contrast of the pretense and the genuineness. The unstudied, unconscious influence of the holy life is the most convincing sermon that can be given in favor of Christianity. Argument, even when unanswerable, may provoke only opposition. But a godly example has a power that it is impossible. And impossible means impossible. It is impossible wholly to resist. For what is written in the book of Zechariah to happen, for it is written in the book of Acts to happen, for it is written in the book Great Controversy to happen in our days, brothers and sisters, there is no choice. The only way is for us to be real, for us to have this real Christianity, and people will flock into the church. And what is described in the book of Zechariah will happen. People will say, yeah, we know that God is with you. This kind of religion that can change life, this is what we want. And they will come. And the sermon will be so powerful. Because it is backed by life, by living testimonies. Quickly, I cannot leave out this. In John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. For us, for this to happen, we have no choice than this. God says, Jesus Christ said it. Said chapter 13 and verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. A divided church, a church where bitterness and hatred is entertained, God cannot use. To express, to have this power, we must love one another. By this, all will know that we are indeed the disciples of Christ. Let me conclude with a story. It happened in 94 in the country of Rwanda. That was a genocide. One tribe did everything to exterminate the other tribe. Many people died during that genocide. Professional killers traveled from one town to another to exterminate the other tribe. And then the other tribe reasoned. He said, probably if you hide in the church, they will not touch. So they flock into a church. It happened to be one of the churches in our church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Rwanda. I visited that church. Big church, large. Thousands of people can fit into this church. They went there. Adventists, non-Adventists belong to this, the tribe to be killed. They were there, full packed. They blocked, they barricaded the church, and hoping that the killers will not find them. But they know the killers knew. So they went straight into the church. Bang, bang, bang. Open this door. Silence. Bang, bang, bang. Open this door. Silence. They forced the door of the church. It was opened. Full of people. Then the leader stood there of the killers. Who is the leader of this group? Silence. Who is the leader of this group? Silence. Finally, a gentleman, a tall, dignified gentleman, he said, I am the leader of the group. And a young man rushed to him with a long knife and split his head into two. And they started to kill everybody. Children, women, men, young people, killed everybody. And they left the church full of dead bodies. The city council sent a truck to collect the dead bodies after 1 or 2 days to bury them in a mass grave. And they collected the dead bodies from the church to the truck, from the church to the truck. Piles of dead bodies. And when they took the dead bodies, they realized one woman was still alive. They said, this woman is still alive. She is breathing. We must save her. So they rushed her to the available hospital. And she was treated there. For 6 months, it was a miracle that she didn't die. Cuts everywhere. It required 6 months to treat her. She had a lot of time to think during those 6 months. One of the major things in her mind is that when I am out of this hospital, how am I going to spend the rest of my life?
Am I going to hate people or revenge? Or am I going to love? Studied her Bible, and she realized that there's no point in spending the rest of her life to hate. So she decided, said, when I am out of this hospital, I spend the rest of my life just to love and to put into practice Romans chapter 12. Love your enemies. So she heard that in one, not far from her, there was this, in that prison, those killers were captured. And they were in jail. So she went to the man in charge of the jail. Sir, I'm a Christian. An Adventist Christian. And I read the Bible. I want to put into practice what is written in the Bible. I would like to have a feeding program in this prison. And the head of the prison said, no, it's not allowed. He suspected that this sister had a sinister motive. But they did some background checking. And they knew, they realized that it is true. She is indeed not a pretend, no pretense, genuine Christian. They said, yes, madam. You can do it. Then Sister Germaine, that is the name in French, she was so happy and she started a feeding program, feeding those people who killed her tribe and even the husband. Preaching the gospel in prison. So one day, while they were preaching after the feeding program, singing songs and preaching the gospel, a young man approached Sister Germaine and knelt down before her. Said, Madam, would you forgive me? And the sister said, I have forgiven everyone. I've decided not to hate anyone. I have already forgiven you. But madam, I would you forgive me? He said, and the young man said, have you forgotten me? Don't you remember me? The sister said, no, I don't. Don't you remember me? No, no, no. And the young man cried. He said, madam, you remember that day when we killed the people in the church. You remember the young man who rushed to your husband. I was the one. Now I met Jesus. I want to be forgiven. Would you forgive me? And Sister Germaine said, yes. I forgive you. I have actually forgiven you. And after some time, the government gave an amnesty that all the genocide killers, they were released from prison. And then Jean Damour, the name of the young man, 24 years old, the Jean Damour, he realized that when he was in prison, the other tribe also tried to kill the other tribe to have a vengeance. And all his family members also exterminated. Then Jean Damour remembers Sister Germaine. And he went there, knock on the door of the sister. Open the door. I am here. I'm alone. Can I stay with you? And Sister Germaine said, yes, I'm also alone, waiting for Jesus to come. I will adopt you as my son. Stay with me. We are going to serve the Lord. We are going to preach the gospel. We are going to hasten the coming of Jesus.
stay with me. You are my son. That is Christianity in action. That is no pretense. Let's love one another. Do you have bitterness in your heart today? Do you hate some people? Let me tell you, don't continue. It's dangerous. Let's forgive one another, because God has forgiven us. Let's love one another. And the very moment when people see that we are a loving church and we love one another, they want to flock into the church. Because this is a rare thing today. Genuine love. That is what we need. And the power of God will come. And we will be filled with the Holy Spirit. The latter rain will come down and fill our hearts and our lives. And when we preach with power. And in no time, Jesus will come. And the suffering will end. And we'll spend eternity with Jesus. That is the message that God wants us to carry. Let's love one another. Let's be genuine. Let's come to Jesus and love Him. I want to invite my daughter Mary, accompanied by Tony. They are going to sing what God has done for us. And during that time, just remain silent. The quietness of this time. Speak to God. Ask for forgiveness and ask for power. And toward the end of the song, if you feel that the Holy Spirit is calling you for a special prayer, that God will give you the power to be and to do, you just stand and we are going to pray. Listen to the song and talk to God and to your soul.
How beautiful the hands that served the wine and the bread and the sons of the earth. How beautiful the widow that walked the long dusty road and the hill to the cross. How beautiful, how beautiful is the body of Christ. How beautiful the heart that that took all my sin and bore it instead. How beautiful the tender eyes that chose to forgive and never despise. How beautiful, how beautiful is the body of Christ. And as He laid down His life, we offer this sacrifice. that we will live just as He died, willing to pay the price. Willing to pay the price. How beautiful the radiant bride who waits for her groom with his light in her eyes. How beautiful when humble hearts give the fruit of pure life so that others may live. How beautiful.
Time to decide or to renew our experience with God. Would you like today? Said, Lord, I've wasted so much time. I want to have a new start in my walk with you. Would you like to make that decision? Why don't you stand? And we are going to pray. I want to ask my friend and colleague, Pastor Neri, would you come? Come up here, please, Peter. We are going to pray, asking God. We're going to dedicate ourselves to the Lord. We have a combined prayer. You start and I conclude.
Okay. Oh, gracious Father, we have felt the tug upon our hearts as the power of the Word of God was spoken. And we want to respond in a positive way. I know I want to be more loving, more thoughtful, more patient, more kind. To be like Jesus, but imagine the power of the young woman who forgave those who hacked her friends and her family and even herself. To have that kind of relationship with you, Lord, to forgive and forget and to reach out to the enemy is my desire, Lord. And I pray it be all our desire today.
Father God, we feel embarrassed. Because many times we pretended.
Yes.
And we know you know. So we apologize that many times we have let you down. And that's why in the quietness of this sanctuary, we stand before you humbly asking for forgiveness.
Yes.
For the cleansing of our thoughts and our minds and our lives. Here we are. We have this deepest desire. It's just to be like you.
Yeah.
Just to be filled with the Holy Spirit and your Spirit. Lord, we don't want to pretend. We want to be genuine.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have the power. We want you to take over right now and to change our lives. To strengthen our devotional lives and for us to read the Bible more and to put into practice what we are reading.
Mm-hmm.
And that love, the love even to love those who hate us, we cannot manufacture that kind of love. We just need you to help us. So pour, according to what is written in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, you can pour that kind of love in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Give us that love that people may know that we are indeed your disciples.
Yes.
I'm praying, Lord, for this church and for our division and for the entire church worldwide. Yes. Father, baptize us with your Holy Spirit and give us the fruit of your Spirit, the love. Mm-hmm. I'm praying for Pastor Neri. Be with him. His ministry as a pastor, and be with his family. Use him in a mighty way. Continue to use him. Pray for the church elders and the officials and officers of the church. Pray for the entire church, this church. Lord, you have done it in the past. You have changed, completely changed churches and lives. Yes. As long as we surrender our lives to you, yes, here we are. We surrender all. Take us now and guide us and help us to be faithful until the end. Thank you for answering our prayers, because we have asked in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.